This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Starting a new series called I Can't Even. You ever heard that phrase before? I can't even. It's kind of the new millennial buzz phrase. I can't even. Anybody ever heard that before? Come on. Yep. A few people. If you're under 30, you know that phrase. If you're over 30, you're like, what are they talking about? So let me give you a little explanation. I can't even. In the Urban Dictionary, I looked it up, which I would not recommend. The Urban Dictionary. Just FYI. I learned some things I didn't want to learn looking in the Urban Dictionary. It's an expression of speechlessness or shock is what they say. An expression denoting so many emotional responses that the user can't even comprehend what has been said or seen. So for us older people, we have to put it in context. So the phrase, I can't even, here's other ways it can be interpreted. I literally cannot even. That's one way. How about, I am unable to even, okay? I have lost my ability to even, right? I am so unable to even. And here's the highbrow definition, which I really like. I will endeavor to regain my ability to even, right? That's the intellectual approach to that. Basically, you know, when I heard that phrase and I was getting this series, you know, planning it out, I got inspired by Pastor Stephen Furtick, and he was teaching on the life of Jacob, and I'm like, okay, I'm really getting this. I told Zach, we got to have a catchphrase here. And that phrase just like, I can't even, it just kind of seems to typify the generation that we're living in. Zach showed me a Saturday Night Live skit where that was the main phrase, and it cracks me up. But we can't play that either in its entirety because, yeah, I can't even. But just the context of the culture right now that we live in, it's sort of like this real, okay, if I could be not too critical, it's sort of like a whiny, attitudinal, self-centered. Why would I say self-centered? Because what's the first word in the phrase? Okay, there you go. It all begins there. And that's really where the problem lies. When the world, the culture, everything in my universe revolves around me, then I have a problem. And here's what I believe. I believe we're in a season where God wants to do amazing things, things to freak us out. Not for the sake of just being spooky and weird, for the sake of what the world is looking for. In a post-9/11 culture, boy, I tell you, I think the world is desperate for some truth, something solid, not I can't even. That's not what they're looking for. Looking for, well, what can you do? You know? What are you about? I mean, and in the church, we've been guilty of being so known for what we're against, we don't know what we're for. So how about the people of God be strong, know their God, and engage with the Holy Spirit in doing great works so that the world can see there's something to that, not just a bunch of talking heads. That's what I'm about. That's why I love what's happening in the Dominican Republic and why we go, because it's real. It's genuine. I mean, you can't help but sit and hear their hearts as we did at the banquet last night, which was awesome. Good job, Restoration Worship Band, by the way, for the prelude there. That was great. But that's reality to me. And you know what? It's necessary here in St. Joe as much as it is in the DR. I was in Browning, Montana a couple weeks ago on a reservation where the only other place I've seen poverty like the DR was on the reservation. And frankly, I had no idea what that was like. I didn't either until I went to San Cristobal. Now I know we've got similar issues right here among us. The world is hungry and desperate. And you know what? Wall Street needs it as bad as Hall Street. Oh, that was good. That was, if you're from St. Joe, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, we need it right here at home. Come on. Some people who know their God are strong and will do great exploits in his name. But this self-absorption, you know, is the issue. And we have got to rise above that in this season where I believe God wants to do amazing things. Yeah, it's difficult days, but it's time for us to take action and to be strong and to let God express himself the way he wants to. That's why 21 days, you know, we're going to pray for the next 21 days. Leading up to this Native American conference that we've got coming up September 29th through October the 2nd, Native leaders from around the country will be coming here. It's the first time that we know of that a conference
has been led by native leaders for us. And I just want to say the body of Christ needs what the native church brings. So it's going to be very interesting. So put that on your calendar. It's on that little calendar in your worship guide today. There's a calendar that Zach put together so you can see all that's happening in the next several weeks. It's great stuff. This conflict, you know, with me being in the center, here's what happens. I have an image I want to project, right? I want you to look at me a certain way. I want to be known a certain way. It's important for my self-preservation, for my ego, that you think this way about me, even though I know that's not really true. And we call it posing, right? We're posturing. We're putting on a false front so that people see something we think they want. In reality, we know there's an incongruency with who I really am. And that's kind of how I grew up. It's like, you know, I desperately didn't want people to know where I lived or who my family was because we were messed up. We were a piece of work. And I was embarrassed. So I found real quick that even as a Christian, I could perform and get people's, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. And I could hide behind the mask. I could hide behind the false self. And we're going to look at the life of Jacob in this series because here's a man who, you know, typifies exactly what we're talking about today. And aren't you glad, before we dive in, I just want to say this. God doesn't use perfect people. Aren't you glad? Turn to your neighbor and say, obviously, he's talking about you, right? It's like, God does not use perfect people. It's the absolute truth. Perfection isn't required for God to use you. Some of us, myself included, are a little complicated. And God isn't put off by that, which really encourages me. I hope it does you today, too. I think by the end of this message, you're going to feel, pumped up that you're a candidate for God to use, even if you're not perfect. Title of today's message is, I am Jacob. Say, I am Jacob. You might be sorry you said that in a little bit, because what that means, there's a lot that comes with that term. Let's back up and let's examine the life of this man of God. You know, if you've heard the story, of course, Jacob's a guy who was a wrestler, right? Men appreciate Jacob. He's a wrestler. Come on now. He's a man who is known in the stories and the scriptures for his wrestling prowess. And we're going to read about that in just a second. This wrestling in his life is very similar to the wrestling we find with this conflict between our true self and who we want people to see and how we want to be known by. There's a conflict. There's a wrestling that goes on. And in that wrestling, we're going to find God show up in a strong way and express his heart. Genesis 32, I'm going to start reading in verse 22, okay? That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, which at the time wasn't weird, two female servants and his 11 sons, that's still weird, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Okay, that's kind of weird. Talk about freak out. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." He said, "Come on, dude." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me my name?" Then he blessed him there. I'm going to pray and ask God to reveal his word to us. Father, thank you for your living word, God. You know, stories like this, we read them. They make nice flannel graphs for VBS and stuff. But you want to say something to us today. So we just open ourselves up, Holy Spirit, to you to speak deep to our heart, our inner man. Lord, we know there's a work you want to do, and we've already prayed it today. We willingly submit and yield to the hurricane, to the tidal wave, to the work of your word in us so that we can be conformed to the image of Jesus, not just to make us more religious, but to make us more real, more the man, the woman you created and called us to be. Today, would you help us strip aside the facade and the veneer, even if it's painful, expose the real so that, God, you can heal and you can raise up. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. See, Jacob was this wrestler, but this isn't the first time in the story that we see him wrestling. He's kind of got this thing going on. He's kind of likes to wrestle. In Genesis 25, verse 21, Isaac, his daddy, prays to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. And get this, the babies wrestled, they jostled each other within her. And she said, why is this happening to me? I could just hear. Pregnant ladies, 8 months, 9 months in, you're going the same thing, right? Why is this happening to me? Can you relate to that, gals? Come on, I'm just supposing. That's probably, well, I think what I heard my wife say a couple of times. Why is this happening to me? All of us, when we get in a position where we're about to birth something, begin to question, what is happening? What is going on? You sense the conflict. You see the stuff. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You have stuff in your life. There's a wrestling. There's a tumult. It's like, I didn't think it was going to be like this. What is going on? What is happening to me? And I love it that Rebecca is wise enough to not take those questions to Facebook or, you know, the gossip chain. She takes them to the Lord, where all good questions must go for real answers. And the Lord said to her, verse 23, two nations are in your womb. There's something big going on. That's why this feels weird. Two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. Anybody ever seen the newborn babies? It's like, ooh, what is that? You know, so red and hairy. So they named him what? Esau, which means what? Red. Okay, very good. Nice creative naming there. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, which means heel grabber. Perfect. Okay, very good. Literal people here having trouble with the name. No problem. Heel grabber. Perfect. That works. So the firstborn there, the reason this was a big deal, Jacob is in the womb even wrestling with his brother. The race to be first, the need to get out the door first, burst through. I want to be first, me first, me first. It sounds just like the human race. It sounds like us. It sounds like us humans. We're desperate to be first, to be number one. I'm not opposed to the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl, okay? But listen, I'm just telling you that being first, being number one, it's so ingrained into our humanity. Even marketing, Zach, I hate to tell you, but your job at the marketing agency is to help people want to be first, to have the best, to be up front. If you use this shampoo, if you drink this coffee, right, it's like you're the best. And that's just what we're prone to as humans. We want to be in that first position. And in this culture, the firstborn had a huge advantage. The birthright, they went to the firstborn. Jacob, in his little naked, pink, slimy body, knew that his red, hairy brother was going to get the birthright if he got out first. So he's grabbing his heel. It's crazy. Wrestling in the womb. And this becomes a marker for Jacob's life. We don't have to be taught the word mine, do we? We always figure it out as kids. Your kids always figure that out. The first word, mine, right? That's our nature. So the first thing I want you to write down and remember is this, that me first is a miserable way to live. Me first. I mean, that's really where our universe revolves around, is me, what I want, me first. You know, everything, how we spend our money, how we give our time, where we put our attention and our focus, it's typically on ourselves. And me first is a miserable way to live. Jacob demonstrates this. But us as believers today, we have to just ask the question, how in the world can you seek the kingdom first if you're first, right? There can't be two number ones. There's only one. Which is it going to be? Me or the kingdom? And Jesus came with this message. It was pretty sober. Matthew 19, verse 30, he says, many who are first will be last. Many who are last will be first. I think I saw this so much. You know, I've seen it in the DR, and I saw it in Browning. The things that we despise, the people that we give up on, the people that we throw away, those are the ones that really grab God's heart. And he'll move heaven and earth on our behalf. But those of us who think we have it all together, sometimes we aren't quite as on the ball as we like to pretend we are. That's God's heart. He thinks about those that are neglected, those that are forgotten, cast aside. He said in Luke 9:25, what good is it then for someone to gain the whole world but lose or forfeit their very self? That's exactly what happened to Jacob. He was so desperate to gain the birthright. And yet in his life, that drive caused him to lose his very self. Another definition for Jacob's name is supplanter. One who takes the place of another. He's wanting that first position. And it tells us another thing about Jacob's personality. You know, Esau grew up hairy man, right? He's a hunter. He's a fisherman. He's a man's man, out shooting the game, bringing the food back. And then there's Jacob, who it says was a man around of the tents, meaning he liked to stay home. He liked to hang around. He was a homeboy in his personality. There's nothing wrong with that, but again, let's see what that does for him, where it takes him. Because he was a homeboy, he learned how to cook, which I'm all for dudes cooking because I like to eat. But Jacob used that again to manipulate and to supplant. He wanted that birthright. So what did he do? Esau comes home from hunt and he's all hungry, and Jacob has a mean, wicked stew on the pot. And he's like, I want me some of that stew. And Jacob wrestles him out of his birthright, literally. Sold it for a bowl of beans, right? He gives away this firstborn position so Jacob could have the goods that come with the firstborn. Esau's an idiot. He gave it away before he even knew what he did. Jacob continues to manipulate, to supplant, to try to take the place, to put himself in the front position. And you know what? When you're centered on you, that's the way life goes. And even when you get what you thought you wanted, enough isn't enough. You're still not satisfied. You find that out. You think, gosh, I want this car. I want this girl. I want this house. I need that boat, right? I need that job. You'll do whatever it takes to get there. And then you get there and you realize it's not enough. I need more. That's the nature of this me first mentality. It's not enough to be thin. I need to be thinner than her, right? Not enough to be buff. I got to be buffer than him. Not enough to be smart. I got to be smarter than everybody in the class. Not enough to be rich. I want to be richer than anybody on my block. See where that goes? It's all about the Interesting that Jacob's granddaddy was born in the land of Ur. So really for Jacob, it's all about the right? It's richer, poorer, it's smarter, faster, taller. You know, it's not being satisfied with who you are. So you have to put on this false front of, if I only had this, I'll become whatever I have to become in order to get that, thinking it'll bring me fulfillment. And of course we know that it doesn't. So Jacob swindles his way into the birthright. And then if that wasn't enough, he's not happy with that. There's more to accomplish. He wants the blessing. And in those days, you guys have heard us talk about it. We did it in the DR. We did it in Browning. We've done it here. The Father's blessing. It's a big deal. And Jacob is jealous to get Esau's blessing as the firstborn. He wants that. So he, again, figures out a way. It's a very elaborate scheme if you read about it. I mean, because his brother is big and hairy and a game guy and dad likes game, maybe I could use that. So here's, you know, Isaac wants some game. He wants some choice meat that his son brings home. Jacob figures out how to do this to get the blessing. He said he was a hairy man, right? Esau was. So he puts on goat skin, you know, and then he puts his brother's coat on, which probably smelled pretty gamey, and goes in dad's presence. Dad asks for some food so that he could bless him. He's like, I'll be right back. Comes back with the meal. So he has someone else's food, someone else's clothes. He's in disguise, right? He's using another person's position and identity to gain something for himself. Haven't you all seen and heard about identity theft today? Man, people in our congregation have been majorly ripped off with identity theft. It's just kind of the thing of the culture now. Become someone else, you get what they got. That's what Jacob's wanting here. He dresses up like Esau. And here's the thing. It really wasn't his plan. It was somebody else's idea. It wasn't even an original thought. Whose was it? Whose idea was this lame brain scheme? Mama, right? He's a mama's boy staying in the house, and mama says, hey, I think we can make this work. So she helps him out. But you know what? I don't blame mama. Because you know how old Jacob is right now when this happens? I mean, what do you picture in your mind in the story? How old would you think Jacob is right now? If you know the answer, don't say it out. How old is he? There's no wrong answer. Come on. What is it? 20. That's exactly. I mean, in the 20s. Everybody else, do you see him in his 20s? He's 76 years old. Are you kidding me? Mama's boy at 76. We got a problem here on our hands. What's Esau's clothes doing at home? That's what I want to know. He's like, what's wrong with these boys? Like, there was dysfunction in the house already, okay? So here's what happens. Genesis 27, Jacob says to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game. I mean, Isaac's old now. He can't see, can't sit up. So that you may give me your blessing. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? Jacob replies, the Lord your God. Don't you love it how we blame God for everything? You know, I'm just going to tell you, I've done it, you do it. We get ourselves into situations and then we blame God. God, I really feel in my spirit that God wanted me to have this, right? It's like, wrong answer. Thanks for playing. It's like when you violate the word of God, don't blame him for the situation that you find yourself in, but that's easy way to take it. It was God's deal. I'm just the messenger. Have you ever heard that? Come on. You're acting like a jerk and you're blaming God. It's not going to fly. Isaac is tricked. Jacob blames God. As a result, Jacob's on the run. Esau's not happy. If you think he was red when he was born, wait till he found out what brother did. And Jacob is running for the next 21 years. Isn't it funny how sometimes when we clamor and manipulate to get what we think we want, when we get it, it isn't that big of a blessing after all. What good is the blessing if you've got to run the rest of your life to escape the mess you created for you? Are you hearing me today, church? Come on now, I think God wants to reveal some truth to us. Enough with the posing, enough with the pretending. God cannot bless who you pretend to be. I'm meddling now, I know I am. Because this is talking to me. You know, as a guy who grew up without a father, I wanted my father's blessing too and never got it. So I found real creative ways to get it, even in the church. I found out if you got a few gifts, you can stand on the platform and people will applaud you, which has nothing to do with character, right? And you can pose and pretend and prance and preen and all that stuff. But if there's something not right on the inside, even that very desperation for affirmation and approval will cause you to do things that really are destructive. But for the sake of the show, we learn how to pretend. And we get very good at wearing Esau's clothes. Come on. That's good preaching right there. We get real good at wearing Esau's clothes. In reality, God wants to get down to the core of who we truly are. We have all these costumes. And, you know, ladies, I'm not picking on you, but, you know, you dress a certain way to get a certain guy's attention. Let me ask you, why should it take you dressing a certain way to get his attention? And if you have to do that, do you really want it? Do you really want that kind of attention from him? If that's what he needs from you, gentlemen, you're not off the hook either. You prance and puff up and be all that, you know, thinking you're tough. But there's something else going on the inside of you. You might look good on the outside, but I'm telling you, bro, you're walking in a false identity that's going to come crashing down on you, as it will for Jacob. Jacob's on the run now, 21 years. He got the blessing, but what good was it if now he's estranged from his family? You might fool Isaac in Esau's clothes, but you're not fooling yourself and you're not fooling God. That's just the reality. And today I think God wants to expose us for who we are, not just to expose us and cause us shame, but to bring healing. Because guess what? He created you for a reason. You don't have to grasp and grab and try to find position on your own. Try to wear another man's clothes so that people will accept you, approve of you. You don't need that. You need to be you, Pablo. who God called you to be, and he's here. Pablo from Spain, man, he came all the way. He gets the Man Mile Award for coming to Restoration Church today. All the way from Spain. But I love it. I love the personality I see on you, man, and God's going to use that. And every man and woman in the house today, God's got a call for you. Don't let that thing be buried by Esau's clothes. Come on now. The birthright, the blessing you think you're going to get is not worth the false identity you have to walk in to get it. We need you. There would not be an orphanage in the DR if Rick and Carrie hadn't said, this is what God's called us to do. There could have been other things they could have done. They're gifted and talented enough and awesome people. They could have done a million things. But they live from their true identity, and as a result, God has blessed that thing amazingly. I think that's on our fourth, eve of our fourth year here, I think that's what God is doing at Restoration. I think he's stripping us down, not for the sake of just exposing us, but for the sake of healing us. You know, I heard this when I was in Browning, when Rabbi Kurt Landry prayed for me, and he prayed, you know, basically, you know, a blessing on me. He said, I see that you have never received a father's spiritual blessing for the purpose as a pastor, as a leader, of seeing God do these signs and wonders and miracles he wants to do in your church. But he added this. He said, but I'll tell you, it's going to look different at Restoration than it does at House of David in Oklahoma, which is where he's at, or from Church on the Rock in Browning. It's going to look different on you. It's supposed to. Don't put somebody else's clothes on me. Don't do that. Don't compare me to somebody else. Listen, been there, done that, got a closet full of shirts, kind of tired of it, okay? I'm just going to be me. How about that? Is that all right? That's what I do. I talk about my puppy poop and paper towels. That's what I do. It's like, this is me. And I guess you're okay with that. So it won't make the recording, though, Zach, that's going on online, because that would be weird, okay? That's why tonight, 21 Days of Prayer, we're starting now to say, God, do what you want to do in us. It's not worth it. The reputation, the inconvenience, none of that compares to us living out the identity that you have called us to be. Does that make sense? As a church, as an individual, that's what he's after. For Jacob now, 76 when he pulls the prank, 21 years on the run. How old is he now? Krista got 100 in math. 97 years old. We're posing, we're posturing, we're on the run. Can I just tell you, it doesn't have to take 97 years. It doesn't have to. It can start today. You know, first service we had a family here, these first two front rows, lost a son, 20-year-old son. Last Sunday morning in a car accident where he was drinking and lost his life for that. See, that's why this really matters. That's why this stuff really, really matters. I'm going to stand right here Tuesday with his ashes in front of me and do a memorial service for a 20-year-old. I don't say that to scare you. I'm saying that to tell you the reality that this life matters. It's important. What we do with it. Why wait 97 years? Come on. It doesn't have to be like that. Today, God gives us the opportunity to live from who he created us to be. And I love this, you know, Jacob 97 finally figures it out. The angel comes. We know, you know, in hindsight, we know who this is. It's a type of Jesus. We see Jesus in the Old Testament showing up in many different forms, and this is a type of Jesus. He's wrestling with God, right? God and Jesus are one, correct? Right? So this is Jesus, if you want to think of it that way. Jesus is wrestling with the man all night to the point where Jacob's hip gets broke. He's 97, no wonder, right? He broke a hip. And so daybreak comes, and Jacob's still holding on. And to me, this is such a great picture of when you're hurting and you're going through this wrestling in your life between who I want people to think I am, what I think will bring me fulfillment, and who I truly was created to be. When that wrestling is going on, I just want to tell you, when it's hurting and your hip's out of joint and it's dark and you can't see even what you're wrestling with, don't give up. Don't tap out. Don't say it's not worth it or I'm not worth it, because you're worth it. God has something for you. And I love it that even at 97, Jacob has the sense to say, I'm not letting go. I'm holding on. Through the pain, I'm holding on. I love that Jacob finally, this tenacity that's in him. I mean, your personality, God wants to use that too. It worked against him 97 years, now it's working for him because he's, I ain't letting go. I'm holding on, even through the pain of what I'm in the middle of. I want it bad enough. I'm sick of posturing and pretending. I'm done with that. I want the real deal. Jacob said, I won't let go of you unless you bless me. See, he's been grabbing heels all his life. He's been grabbing onto false things that he thought would bring him promotion and prestige, popularity. But now he's found something really, truly worth grabbing onto. The only person who can really bring blessing to his life and give him his true identity, who knows him as he is. So the man, the angel, Jesus, says, what is your name, son? And of course, he already knows, right? You think Jesus knows his name already? Rhetorical question. He's wanting to know what Jacob will say. When Isaac asked him his name with the whole goat skin brother's coat on, how did he respond? What did he say? Esau. But to the angel, he says, Jacob. Jacob. My name is Jacob. My name is heel grabber. My name is supplanter, deceiver, false, pretender. That was a moment of revelation for Jacob. He's no longer putting on this false identity. He's owning it. This is who I am. And that confession, that genuineness, that transparency, that honesty, that real coming to understand, I'm tired of the false, I'm ready for the real, brought his moment of breakthrough. Through the pain of wrestling with this angel all night, through the pain and the darkness of not knowing what's going on. I mean, sometimes God uses pain to bring us to that point, but should it take a 9/11 to cause our nation to pray? I mean, come on. I'll never forget 9/11, 15 years ago. I'm in Kansas City with a bunch of pastors watching the planes hit the towers on TV, and we're just like, what is going on? It was an all-day deal, so I couldn't leave there. Besides that, we didn't know if it was safe to travel. I mean, you remember that? It was like, we didn't know what to do. I got a hold of Krista. The kids were out of school. Everybody's just like, what? And Krista said, stay there. So I'm there with his pastors. It was really wild. Mike Bickle and a bunch of guys were there, and they were just like interpreting real-time what was happening. It was surreal. It was like a movie. But back home, I was getting calls saying, hey, pastor, we've been assembling pastors together, you know, as a part of our ministry. They said, we want to do a prayer rally tonight. And I said, you know, just go for it. I'm not going to be able to get there, but go for it. Do it. That night, 6,000 people assembled at Missouri Western Fieldhouse to pray. That's a big deal in St. Joe. 6,000 people have never assembled before or since to pray. And that, my friends, is a reality that we don't understand how important today is. And every day, the opportunity we get to be Jesus, to be who God's really created and called us to be, and let that thing out and quit hiding behind these curtains of posing and pretending. The world doesn't need religion. The world needs a relationship with a living God. And they're going to see it when they see it lived out through you. And instead, we oftentimes fall victim. I do it too. My reputation, my appearance, even sometimes my ministry. I don't want to reveal sometimes what's really going on because I'm afraid people will think I'm not that good because I know I'm not, right? It's like, if you really expose your weaknesses, what'll happen? Well, Jacob found out here what happened. When you pretend to be somebody else that you really aren't, it never works out. But when you're ready to take off Esau's clothes and let go of the heel grabbing and the reputation that's so important to you, the issues you struggle with, and you admit who you are, then God gives you the revelation of who he created you to be. And this is so awesome. When he admits it, the man says, your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name will no longer be heel grabber. Your name will no longer be deceiver, supplanter. I call you Israel. He got a new name. It's so cool that in that moment, God will tell you who you really are, not necessarily through your successes, but through your struggles. And guess what? Israel means triumphant with God. I call you triumphant with God. Church, there's revelation there for us. It says that when we come to Christ, the word says we become new creations, right? Old things pass away. Everything is new. You get a new name. Your identity in Christ. You know, for me, this really happened. I literally got a new name. I met my father, and at age 32, with my wife and young son, stood before a judge and changed my name. Not because I needed a new one. I had a great name, and I was in broadcasting, so that was my label, right? That's how I was known by. When you're on the radio, that's your name. But that wasn't worth to me what I found in learning my true identity. And I took on a new name, and my friends were like, why are you doing that? And I knew that the reason they asked is because they didn't understand how important identity is. When you admit who God created you to be by admitting your own failures and falsehoods, then he says, well, here's what I call you. I call you holy. I call you righteous. I call you accepted. I call you beloved. I call you good enough, worthy, because I sent my son to prove that. And no one else ever needed to doubt, including you. You never need to doubt again. But this identity exchange is so important to Jacob's future, his call as a man of God, even at 97 years old. And from that point on, it's interesting, the Bible interchanges Jacob and Israel quite a bit there, which seems a little crazy, a little complicated. Well, guess what? Life is a little crazy and complicated. Just because you have a new name and a new identity doesn't mean you always walk in it, right? Sometimes we mess up. Anybody else besides me mess up once in a while? It's like, yeah, I know I'm beloved and I'm accepted and I'm affirmed and all that stuff, but I still look for it in the wrong places sometimes. And it says if we blow it and we fail, God is faithful. When we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive and remind us who we are and to cleanse us from all that garbage that we don't need in the first place. If we're willing to drop the pretense and just let God show us who he's created us to be. What is your name? Jacob answers. Now listen, what's wild, if we fast forward to the story, interesting. Now, Jacob's off the scene, he's passed on, and Moses, a new leader, has raised up. And he's leading, or he's going about to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he's a little nervous about that. He's like, I don't know if I'm the right guy. Not too sure about this. Boy, I said, I can really relate to Moses. It's like, plant a church in downtown St. Joe. I'm a broadcaster. My voice, my moniker is my label, right? It's like, that's where my strength is. I don't feel strong as a leader of people or as a pastor or as a church planner. Are you kidding me? If we had any idea what was going to be required, I'm sure Rick and Carrie would say the same thing. You know, sometimes you're tempted. It's like, yeah, 10 years of that. Yeah, I don't know if it had been so appealing. God is so great to not reveal the whole thing at once, right? I said, plant a church in this building in downtown St. Joe. I still sometimes am not sure. Moses was very unsure and needed a little reinforcement. He said, who should I tell them sent me? When I go to these people and say, yeah, we're going to be leaving Egypt now. Pharaoh's going to, it's like, yeah, they're going to believe that. So what am I going to tell them? Who sent me? This burning bush? That'd sound kind of weird. He said, how about you just tell them I am. I am sent you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and, wait a minute. I thought he had a name change. I thought Jacob meant heel grabber. I like Israel a whole lot better, right? Blessing of God. God is pleased with me. My new identity. Call me by that, please. And God says, no, I don't need perfect people to do what I'm going to do. I can work with heel grabbers. I can work with deceivers. If they'll be honest, if they'll be forthright and truthful, if they'll recognize that their true identity doesn't lie in posturing, try to get the things that they think will make them happy, but if they're truthful with me, I will gladly be identified with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that awesome? Is that sinking in this morning? Because for me, I know me. And it's much better for me to be honest about me than to try to pretend to be somebody else. And God can work with that. I think that's the message today that God wants to reveal to all of us. Because all of us have those things in life we'd like to hide, we'd like to cover up. He's the God of Jacob, too. He's the God who knows you and wants you to know yourself. And we can wrestle with our situations all night long. You know, I tell people this. It's like, I'd much rather walk with a man with a limp than a guy who pretends to be perfect and nothing ever bothers him. Right? We all admire the Superman, you know, the Man of Steel, nothing affects him. I'm saying, yeah, you go ahead and just have that. I'll walk with the guy that limps over here because he's been wrestling all night long. And he understands my pain, what I go through, my weaknesses. He gets that. I tell men, you need one other guy in your life who knows you well enough that you can tell them anything, and it doesn't change the way they look back at you. If we can be a church like that, I think we can accomplish God's mission for us in this city, in partnership with a lot of other churches who are doing the same thing, and together be the body of Christ that this world is waiting for in a post-9/11 generation that want real. They don't need phony. They don't need plastic. They don't need show. You know, we'll use whatever tool we have to reach people, but we better be real about it and genuine and not phony. He's the God of your victories and the God of your defeats. He isn't just interested in you when you're perfect. It's when you were his enemy that God sent Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.